let's get underway and we'll start the Champions Press Conference here at the 25 Memorial Tournament presented by Workday. Scotty Scheffler, what a magnificent performance. Back-to-back years. What are your thoughts right now after achieving this victory today?
I feel pretty tired right now. It was a great week. It's always special being able to come here and play Mr. Nicklaus's tournament, and the golf course was a great test this week. The rough was as healthy as I'd seen it. You know, we've had that length of rough before, but not the thickness. I mean, it was pretty nasty, and it was a good challenge, and it's definitely fun to be sitting here.
Before we take some questions, Mr. Nicklaus, this guy's a pretty good champion, a couple of years in a row, right?
I would think so. You know, Scotty's right about the rough. The rough was, we had a wet spring. You're going to find the same rough at Oakmont. I mean, it's the same grass, same. It'll be the same thing all through the whole Midwest. And, I think we were lucky to get through the week with some of the weather we had and some of the odd conditions. And but what it did is created a different condition every day. We didn't have 2 days alike. And, you know, your champion is the one who manages all those conditions. And Scotty managed them. Scotty didn't play, for him, spectacular golf. He played what he should do. He played good, solid, smart golf. And, you know, 370s and a 68, that's pretty good golf under the conditions that were out there. And that's what the best player in the world does. He comes out and does things the right way and manages it. And he sees who's on the leaderboard and who's challenging him. And I'm sure you play. You watch the leaderboard, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to know who's out there. You got to know what they're doing. You got to know what you have to do. And he did. We're so proud to have Scotty not only as a champion last year, but again this year. We're very happy for him, too. Obviously very happy for him.
Great. All right. We'll take some questions. If you have a question, we'll raise your hand, and we'll start with Dave. A
couple of things, Scotty. What do you feel like you did well today?
What I feel like I did well, and only one bogey around this place is pretty good. It's hard to say. You know, I felt like I hit a lot of fairways. I definitely wasn't in the rough very much. I think I hit in the rough off of 10. But outside of that, I don't think I was really in the rough at all. So around this place, that's going to be key. And so I'd say I drove the ball really nice today. I think that would probably be the thing I did best.
And secondly, this is two times in a row, and it's happened before too, where you're in a tussle, and then, like, without a moment's notice, you're walking up the 18th without a care in the world. How does that happen?
It goes from
like zero to like a four-shot lead.
Yeah, I mean, I had a four-shot lead on standing on 15T, and then I birdied 15 and parred 16, which is not bad golf, and all of a sudden it was a two-shot lead. So I did what I was supposed to do. You know, I hit a good putt there on 15 that just grazed the edge, hit another really good putt on 16 that came up just short. And I knew if I continued to execute the way that I did that I was going to have a good chance to win the tournament. And you know, I told myself when we're standing there on 17T, you know, if Ben eagles 15, birdies 16, and 17, 18, you know, we deserve to be going into a playoff. And that's kind of the conversation I have with myself. And, you know, I can't stop him from playing great golf, but all I can do is just go out there and try and execute and, you know, hit the fairway on 17, hit the green, get myself a good look. And then, like I said, when you're in the rough out here, I mean, it's really challenging. And, you know, Ben put in the rough on 17, which makes that hole extremely difficult and, paid the price for an errant tee shot.
Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations, Scotty. Seemed like hole number 11 was maybe the crucial moment of the day. You had bogeyed 10, it was a one-shot lead, and you drill a 14-footer when he's in there about 4 feet, and then he misses. Do you feel like that was kind of the not the turning point, but a really key moment?
Yeah, definitely an important moment in the tournament because I after the bogey on 10, you know, making that putt on 11 was definitely really important to kind of keep him at bay. And I didn't actually see his putt there, but I knew that it missed. And so then I'm in control of the box on 12, and I went in there and hit a really nice shot, which I think was really important as well. Put it in position there. I almost made that putt too. But I would say definitely the birdie on 11 and, you know, Ben making the mistake there on 12 was definitely kind of where I took, you know, control of the tournament on the back nine.
All right, we'll go up to Todd in the back right.
Mr. Nicklaus. All right, here you go. Yeah. Obviously, you were a great player, and you've seen some great players in your time as well. Given the body of work that Scotty is putting together, what makes him elite?
What makes him?
Elite, a great player.
Well, I think that, you know, great players are ones who rise to the occasion and ones who know how to play coming down the stretch when in important events. And, you know, looking at the leaderboard today, he didn't have, I mean, Ben Griffin's a nice player. Sepp Straka is a nice player. Nick Taylor's a nice player. Those are all the guys that were there basically coming down the stretch. But he knows that those guys, you know, are not in his league. Now, if he'd had, I don't know who else it might have been, but if somebody else at the top, or Xander or somebody like that would have been there, he might have said, well, that might be a little tougher. I might have to do something different. He didn't have to. And I think I just asked Scotty if he watched the leaderboard. He says, yeah, I do. I said, well, I did too. I always watched the leaderboard and found out what my competition was, and I always felt like what level I had to play to fight that competition off. And sometimes you didn't have to fight it off because you knew they'd self-destruct. And so, you know, so you just don't make dumb mistakes and play solid golf and you win. And, you know, he is such a good player, and he drove the ball beautifully today. Like he said, he drove the ball, but he never put himself in jeopardy. He didn't put himself in a position to lose the golf tournament. He was always in a position to win. And if he had to do something more spectacular, he was in a position to do so. But he didn't have to. So you don't take any chances to do that. I mean, the most riskiest shot that I saw him play, I thought today, was 16. The 16, by hitting the ball pin high, he actually gave the opportunity to have the water in play. I thought he would hit it in the front right of the green there.
I was trying to hit it over the water.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
But, I mean, that was the only place he could lose the tournament. And he hit it on the far right side of the green, which is all right. Even if he went in the bunker, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But, you know, there's places where you play when you've got to finish properly. That don't put you in jeopardy. That's what he did. That's what good players do.
Jeff, over on the left.
Scotty, Jack mentioned the rough is going to be like it's going to be at Oakmont in two weeks. How do you feel this prepared you for that test, and what do you think of playing at Oakmont in 2 weeks?
Well, you know, this golf course like Oakmont, you know, I think this is a place where if there's a weakness in your game, this golf course is going to expose it pretty quick. And you know, it's a challenging week, and this is always a good, you know, barometer of where you're at playing, because each day on the course, I think the first 2 days you had guys shoot 65. I think the best round on Saturday was 66, and the best round today was 65. And so there's always opportunity to shoot great scores and hit great shots. It's just a matter of stepping up there and hitting the shots. And that's what I think is great about this golf course, is there's opportunity and there's good difficulty. And as far as prep work for the U.S. Open, I mean, like you said, the roughs can be pretty similar, and I think it's great prep.
Good down the front right, Rob.
Yeah, Scotty, you're talking about watching scoreboards, winning the tee box. Just curious, on a maybe level 1 to 10, what is your level of competitive killer instinct?
I mean, I have no idea.
Competitive what?
Competitive instinct. What is that? What you said?
Yeah, killer instinct. Killer instinct. Really.
He didn't need any. No, seriously, he doesn't. I mean, he's enough. I'll answer for you. You're enough of a competitor, and you're a good competitor, that he'll compete to what he has to do. I mean, he doesn't want to tell you. He wouldn't want to brag about what he does, but he has the ability to bring his level to whatever level it needs to be. That's what good players do. And, you know, he's not good players, great players. I mean, look at the record that he has had the last few years. It's unbelievable.
You have Alex and across the bill.
That's hard to follow that up, Scotty. Jack kind of talked about it, but when was the last time you felt like you were dictated to on the golf course by someone else?
Like I was...
That someone else was pressing you that you had to do something different?
That I had to do something different? You know, that's a good question.
Tough question.
It's a tough question. I felt like the only time I had to press was, you know, I was chasing in Houston the final round. I was pretty far back going into the last round. And so going into the back nine, I had to, you know, maybe change some lines into some of the pins and play a little bit more aggressive than I had to, for instance, today. You know, it's different playing with a lead than there is, you know, chasing. I think I started that day like 5 or 6 shots back against Minwoo. So I would say that's really the last time that I felt like I, you know, needed to press a little bit.
And to kind of follow up on Bob's question, if someone said to you, when you get the bit in your mouth, you just go, is that a fair assessment? You just don't look at anything else and you just go forward and don't really pay attention to what those guys are doing except for what's on the leaderboard?
Well, the thing about leaderboard watching is sometimes I think it's harder to not look at the leaderboard than it is to look at it. I mean, the leaderboards are right there on the golf course, and I think it would be more of a challenge for me not to try not to look at them, and so that would be almost more of a distracting thing. So it's kind of nice to have an understanding of where guys are at on the leaderboard, and it's not going to change the way I play unless, like I said, you know, I'm 5 shots back on the back nine. I might, you know, change a line or two going into some pins. But overall, I mean, when you're looking at a 72-hole tournament, if I'm thinking properly and hitting the correct shots, you know, I should have a decent chance there on Sunday. And so when it comes to playing a tournament, you know, I try and bring the same level of intensity to Thursday as you do Sunday. And so when you come out here late on Sunday, you know, nothing really changes for me because I try to bring that intensity to the first tee on Thursday. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Go Bill and cross to Doug.
Scotty, Ben Griffin said, you guys obviously played junior golf together. He said you were a really good player then, like a bunch of them were. But he didn't envision you dominating the way that you have. Did you, at that age, or when was it that you kind of realized, yeah, I can dominate the way I have?
Yeah, I don't really think about that stuff, to be honest with you. I treat each tournament individually, and every tournament's different, and I try to do my best to come out here and compete, and that's what I love to do. I love being able to play the PGA Tour, and I love being able to compete against the best players in the world and play on great golf courses like this one, and you know, be able to play in these legacy tournaments like, you know, Mr. Palmer's tournament, Mr. Nicklaus's tournament. You know, this is – it's really hard to put into words what it's like sitting up here with, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time, and we're sitting here talking about – stuff that I did today on his golf course. It's a pretty weird feeling. You know, I came here when I was in college. My dad and I, I would play in the U.S. Open qualifier, and we would come here sometimes for the tournament. You know, I can't remember if it was usually before or after, but I think we would maybe come in on Friday or Saturday for the Monday tournament and come out and watch, you know, the tournament out here. And I always just dreamed of playing these tournaments. I never think about dominating. It's a waste of time for me to think about that kind of stuff. I'm just trying to be the best that I can be and work hard and use the gifts that I have for good. And that's pretty much it.
Doug,
let me sort of add to that. I mean, if he is thinking about being the best and starts believing he's the best, pretty soon he starts scratching his ears out here like this. And that's death. So once you start getting a big head and you believe you're too good, then you will get beat. As long as you keep trying to play well, climb a mountain, try to feel like he's trying to get better, trying to be smart, being consistent, and playing what he thinks is the best golf he could play at that particular time, that's when you play well. Not when you're sitting there saying, oh, I'm really this good, I can do that. No. I never thought that one time when I played. I always felt like, hey, you know, I got 144 guys or whatever it might be out there to play. I've got to play well to beat them. Once I got myself in a position, then, you know, to win, then you got to be smart about how you finish it. And that's the way he's playing. He reminds me so much of the way I like to play. And, you know, I don't think I played nearly as well as he played. He's played better than I played and more consistent. He's just been playing fantastic. And I love watching him play. And whether it's here or on television or whatever it is, I love watching. Anytime he's playing, I want to watch.
All right, we'll go Doug.
Comments on that, Scotty? I'm kidding.
Good.
but kind of along those lines, Jack, excuse me, had spoken earlier in the week about what a, you know, how to post a good score, and it was about fairways and greens and hitting, you know, 14 or so greens, always being around the hole. You're not going to make them all, but make a percentage and do it that way instead of holing, you know, 3 15-footers and a couple of 20-footers. and it sounded a lot like the way you played. And I wondered if you could relate to some of the way he was thinking. If I quoted you right, Jack, I think I did.
Yeah, I never worried about putting. I felt I would make my percentage. I didn't need to. If I knocked it close to the holes, I'd knock some of them in. I didn't worry about if I missed some. You missed some. You missed some today. You missed some yesterday. You missed some all week. But you made a lot, too. He gave himself enough chances that he didn't have to be special with a putter. He just needed to be good solid with it.
Yeah, I think the way I look at tournaments is, you know, 72 holes is a lot of golf. And early in my career, I felt like I didn't bring enough intensity to the first couple rounds. Like, I would bring a lot of intensity on Saturday and Sunday, but I was always kind of on the outside looking in when it came to leaderboards. And that's one thing that Tiger, I think, was really good at was bringing that level of intensity to each and every shot. I mean, I've never seen
Thursday
hungry.
Started the tournament with it.
Yeah.
And he was really good at it.
And that's something I've always tried to emulate. I never got to play with Mr. Nicholas, but I'd assume that was probably a pretty similar thought process that he brought to each round. I mean, if you're going to play 72 holes, I mean, how many shots did he hit this week? 278. I mean, that's a lot of shots. And I mean,
and the first 70 better be good ones too, right?
Yeah, the first 70 matters as much as the last one. And
that's right.
I mean, each tournament week feels like a marathon, especially when you're playing a difficult golf course like this. And so it's more important to just stay in the proper headspace and try and hit shots and kind of go from there.
And then on the putting, and you've said over the last couple of days going over your round that, you know, could have been a couple better, but I'm happy with the way I played, et cetera. When you got over par putts today, those seem big. I just wondered if you think differently over, I mean, one and two today, and six was a big one, nine was a big one. Are you thinking differently about those than any other putts? And if not, can you make something up?
Can you make something up?
You make, I don't know. What do you want to make up?
I mean, I really don't have a different thought process over different putts. You know, I'm trying to, if I got a good look from about 10 feet, I'm usually trying to give it a good chance to go in. But I feel like golf sometimes, it's not a game where, it's not like other sports where, like if we were playing football or basketball, like I compare it to basketball, like if I get the ball at the three-point line in basketball, I can figure out a way to force my way to get there to the hoop and try and put up a layup. Like I can figure out a way to either back the guy down or go around him. You can use brute force. In golf, you can't do that. I mean, you can will yourself to hit and execute the right way, but you can't force the ball to go into the hole. I think a lot of times you got to let these rounds come to you, and I feel like I've improved at that skill over time. And you know, golf's not a game where you can just use that brute force. You know, you have to be patient. You have to, I mean, it tests you each and every time you go out and play. I mean, it's really like you're looking in the mirror each and every time you go out and play golf. It's as challenging mentally as it is physically.
Okay, we've got a couple more here, and one up the back. We'll go with Kevin first on the right here.
Scotty, you've talked a lot about the importance of staying in the present, which can be hard for a lot of people, but where does that importance for you, the focus on that, come from? And is there anyone or anything throughout your life that has helped you get better at staying in the present?
Well, yeah, my college coach, Coach Fields, was kind of the first person that introduced that concept to me. You know, I was when I first got to college, I was trying to date this girl whose name was Meredith, and you know, I would come out to the course, and if she, you know, shot me a text or gave me a phone call, I'd pick it up. And, you know, I was still trying to woo her at that point. And, you know, I'd get a little distracted when it came to practicing. And, you know, coach sat me down one day and said, hey, listen, when you're at the golf course, you need to be focused on what you're doing at the golf course. He's like, when you're in class, you need to be paying attention in class. And he's like, when you get to do your social stuff, you need to be present where you are. And it's just, I think it's a better way to try to enjoy life. I mean, if I can be present where I am, like if I'm at home thinking about golf, am I going to be fully enjoying the time I get to spend with Meredith and Bennett? Probably not. And if I'm at the golf course thinking about being at home, you know, I'm probably not going to be focused in my practice. I'm not going to get the most out of it. And so I think it's a daily battle to try and focus on the task at hand. And, you know, I think it's a bit of a, you know, kind of, you know, living life to the fullest type of thing. I think when you're thinking about what you're doing, I think that's when you're living.
Did you do a good job at that this week, or were there any moments you kind of thought ahead, I guess, at any point on the course?
No, I think I did a pretty good job this week.
Stefan, go ahead.
You mentioned your family. I mean, we've seen kind of the celebrations you've had with them the last couple of years winning here. I guess when you have these moments that you can share with them, how much more fond do you grow, not just of a tournament, but a place to come back? Like, what does Dublin and Columbus kind of start to mean to you, considering the memories you've been able to make here?
Yeah, this is a special tournament for us for a variety of reasons. And, you know, as Mr. Nicholas knows better than anybody, having a good family life is extremely important. You know, the golf and winning tournaments, all that's great. But at the end of the day, if you're going home and there's nobody to celebrate with, I think that can be a bit challenging. And, you know, my wife has been my biggest supporter for a number of years. And, she does a wonderful job taking care of our little man and, basically running the show at home. And, I definitely couldn't be out here playing golf if it wasn't for her support. And she knows me better than anybody. We've been together now since I was 17, I think, and she was 18. And so it's been, 11 years now for us together. And, it's been a fun journey and looking forward to many more years of us.
When you reflect on the success you've had back-to-back years now, any chance we see you late August back for a football game, Texas, Ohio State, and any prediction for the game? You got to be careful with Mr. Nicholas.
You don't have to be careful at all. I think it'll be a pretty good football game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to be careful. You're still riding high after the national championship. I mean, come on. You know, last year we actually got to go to the Cotton Bowl. That was really fun. I mean, obviously the result wasn't what I hoped that it would be, but I mean, it was really cool to see that environment and enjoy the game. I don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow, let alone in August, but I'll definitely be watching on TV at the very least.
All right, let's wrap it up with one on the back.
Scotty, congratulations again. Going off the theme of your family here, we talked at Media Day about what this tournament meant, your first win as a dad with Bennett here. Does he seem like he's kind of the good luck charm here for you now, two in a row? What does it mean to get this one again with him by your side?
Yeah, I mean, it's really special. This is a fun week for us. We have a lot of good memories here, and, this is always – it's an interesting tournament for us for a variety of reasons, but we have very special memories the last couple of years. First win with as a father, and it was my Meredith's first week really traveling with me as having Bennett around, and this year watching him grow, it'll be fun to look at the pictures from last year and then compare him to this year. And it looks like he's standing up back there in the corner right now. So
wait until he starts swinging a club.
Yeah.
Or something.
Be swinging something.
All right, gentlemen.
Well, you never know what they're going to start with.
Exactly.
Congratulations again on your PGA Tour win this season, Scotty. Mr. Nicholas, thanks again for being a wonderful host.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And Workday for being a wonderful sponsor. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, all of you guys, too. I said it earlier in the week, but, without you guys, we have a hard time having a tournament out here because nobody knows about it.
It's true.
Absolutely true. 100%.